And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always, on Monday morning, I've got Michele Ibarra. Michele, what's up?
Well, I feel terrible. My throat is sore. No. I'm under, medicine, drugs, whatever. So everything I say today... that's not me. It's the medicine that is talking. So I have a jail-free card. I can say whatever I want.
No. Oh, man. So this is not a good week to be feeling bad, Michele. It's the week of training camp.
Man.
You gotta get yourself ready because the Thunder are going to... Everybody's reporting tomorrow to the Thunder facility. Now, the rules for... excuse me, the first part of training camp is they work with groups of four. And so I'm very interested to know what these groups consist of, who's in what group. Are they going to put Poku with SGA? I don't know. I hope they do. I have no idea, though. So that's one thing that we'll be kind of finding out over the course of the next few days. But Sam Presti talks this afternoon at 3 o'clock Central Time, so you'll be... probably hearing stuff from that. So I've got a few questions for him. If you guys have ideas for what to ask Sam, throw them at me. See if maybe something will pique my interest. But I have a few things I'm going to ask him. But if you have any good ideas, maybe I'll throw it at him too. So hope you guys are doing well. We are going to discuss six questions heading into training camp. And really... there's just so many things that are unknown about this Thunder team that we have yet to be answered. And my first question is, Michele, who makes the final roster? We've got a billion guys on this team. I think there's 21 as of today.
Yeah, I have to take a pen just to write down because it's unbelievable. We have 23, let's say.
Yeah, with two ways and everything, it's 23, I believe.
Yeah, the two ways, I think those are there to stay. So we'll just forget about them. And yeah, they signed a few guys that are interesting, and we'll probably have them. But it's not part of the 15 that we are talking about, right?
Yep. Nope. Let's not count them.
So. Let's start with the obvious one. I would say SGA, then Dort, and Basley.
All on the team. Yep.
Then I would say that with higher percentage, Al Horford will be here. He will make the final roster. Mm-hmm. I am not sure he will finish up the season in OKC, but that's another story.
Maybe he does.
Maybe. I mean, it really depends. If 3.5 months or whoever or whatever time there's from the beginning of the season to the trade deadline, if he shows enough, maybe someone will say, well, okay, we need a center. If it's the price that we have in mind. But most likely it's next year when people will have cap space, and especially if he has a good season, then I can see them trying to move him there. Maybe around the draft, because no one knows where OKC will be, but they will probably have at least they'll have it two picks. We don't know where those picks will be, but the number is clear. So maybe you can do stuff with those picks.
Maybe you can get something like Schroeder, the Schroeder trade at the draft next year with him after you kind of rehabilitated his value. I mean, that might be the plan. I mean, last season, before the season started, the plan was always, well, Chris is probably going to be here. He's probably going to be here all year. Yeah. And at the time, we were even like, what? Like, really? All year? Are you sure? Mm-hmm. And Horford's different because I don't think Horford is not going to take this team to like 45 wins or anything like that. I mean, it would be, that would be quite impressive. Al Horford would be the MVP of the NBA if he took this team to 45 wins.
Yeah.
But he's also just a good guy to have around, I think. I think he's a good pro to have around. And I say that he's not even around yet. The trade isn't even complete.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say Horford is safe to say. So that's four.
Poku?
Poku, for sure. He's here.
Theo Maledon?
Yeah, Theo will
probably be here.
He will be on the team. Yes. Yeah. He'll be on the team. He will certainly play as a Thunder player. And I've heard some people like float that they think that he could be a Blue player. There's just absolutely no way that happens.
Why?
I don't know. That's the question. Why?
He might be assigned there if everything goes south. Or like say that, I don't even know. Like why? Doesn't make any sense. Mike Muscala probably will be in the final roster.
Yeah, definitely. Good guy. Can shoot.
Yeah, good guy can shoot. I don't know if he's...
Can you pronounce his name? Somebody is eating spaghetti and watching us from Greece. But I'm afraid
Christos Veziris.
Thank you. That's why you're here.
Hopefully. I'm not Greek. I don't know. I probably...
It sounded good.
This is my best Greek.
It sounded good.
So Mike Muscala. I have him here in this list, but I wouldn't put him that high.
Why? What are they going to do with Hami? Are they going to trade him?
I don't know.
Is he a sweetener?
Maybe.
Is there anything sweet about Hami?
I don't know. Maybe someone likes him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, for example, I can see Ty Jerome being more certain than Diallo to be part of the roster.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they'll both be on the roster, personally, but...
Yeah.
Because I think there's still kind of a... What is Hamidou Diallo? I think that would be a question that they ask. Like, what is he? What does he do?
Really? Again?
Yeah. He had some injuries last year that he didn't really get to perform. Why are you doing this? Why are you such a hater?
I'm not a hater.
You're such a hater. Oh my gosh.
I didn't have doubts on what kind of player Hami is. I can see the value.
Wow. I guess you haven't seen all the shooting videos that he's been doing in the off season, have you?
It's not even the shooting. I don't care. I mean, if he shoots like 38% from the corners, yes. He will probably play.
Yeah.
But it's the understanding where to go and where to be and what to do that concerns me quite a lot.
Well, did you hear about his brain surgery that he had over the offseason, Mikele, to repair some broken ligaments in his brain? Yeah, I bet you didn't hear about that.
No.
Yep, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Well, likely Diallo is on the roster, but I would put him between 10 and 15 in the pecking order, not before.
I think
Justin Jackson will probably be more sure to be a Thunder player. Isaiah Roby, I don't think he might be one that doesn't make the cut.
Yeah, that's for real.
Yeah, so him, I would put him in a TBD status.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Because I'm sure that, like, Diallo will not be cut. He's either traded as an asset or he will be in the roster. Same with Justin Jackson and Ty Jerome.
Yeah.
Roby, I am not sure.
Yeah, he may just be cut.
Yeah.
Because they, I mean, they're going to have to. I have like a main seven. I have like a 17 person list. Then I have like Josh Gray, Kendrick Williams, Alan Cheatham, who I think will probably all be cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then essentially from this list of 17, two have to be cut. One, Vincent Poirier will not
touch
ground in OKC.
He'll not be here.
And I can't remember who's coming back in the deal. I can look it up. But I don't think he'll be on the roster either. And so really it comes down to, are they going to waive the group of guys that they could possibly waive? Admiral Schofield, Isaiah Roby.
Much better position than Roby, though.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, they're not going to waive TJ Leaf, I don't think, but maybe they will.
Well, TJ Leaf and Isaiah Roby are in the same boat to me.
Yeah, my guess is that they'll waive the guy they acquire from the Sixers and Isaiah Roby. And then the remaining roster will be Dort, SGA, Poku, Bazley, Horford, Ariza, Hill, Justin Jackson, Maledon, Hami. Darius Miller is a candidate as well.
I think that among the veterans, like we have Horford, Hill, Ariza, and Miller. I think Hill is the least likely to stay.
Yeah. Well, Miller, I think, tore his ACL or his Achilles last year.
Yeah. That's so why you keep him.
You keep him on the roster?
Yeah.
On the 15-man roster?
Yeah. Who cares?
Why?
Because he will not provide you any winning. And if he comes back, maybe you can kind of like sign and trade him, whatever. If he plays like 10 games at the end of the year, shooting 48%, maybe you can extract a tiny little bit of value from there.
When did he have his injury? Do you know that?
No, I don't remember my heart.
I'll look it up. Because that's important. Because I don't have any recollection of it.
I think it's
But this is great podcasting here.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's also a candidate to be cut. If they like Roby more, if they're like, oh, okay, we kind of like his progression, then maybe they keep him.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I don't know what Miller wants to do. Like, does he want to stay around and be with the guys, just like being a good vet in the locker room, even if he doesn't play? If so, like, these guys can stay. Like, you don't have to cut him.
Yeah, true.
Or maybe if he comes back around the deadline, maybe there's a team that wants him for the minimum, and then you basically agree to a buyout. And it's better. I mean, you save money. So I think you can keep him for this reason. I mean, you can cut Ariza. You can cut Hill. Hill may provide value. Ariza, I don't know if he can provide a ton of value. Maybe a second rounder. I don't see a team spending a good first on him.
It's been over a year since Miller's towards Achilles.
Yeah, so maybe you can extract it again, a second rounder at the deadline. The contract is not huge. Like Chicago, you can send him and acquire Felicio in the trade exception. You create another trade exception of $7 million, and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's possible.
Like, you can do stuff like that. And a shooter, I mean, if he's able to stay on the court and if he shoots it, I mean, he will provide more value than Isaiah Roby or Kendrick Williams or like guys like that. I don't know. Yeah. The only guy that I wouldn't like say he will be here 100% is Hill. I do think that there is still a chance that he's traded before the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
To a team like Chicago, can use him.
There's like 1,000 teams that can use him, right?
Yeah, but Chicago has a useless contract.
Yeah. We'll get to that question here in a second. Next question. So what's the holdup with the Horford deal and what impact will it have? So I think it's safe to say at this point that the Thunder are waiting until December the 8th to complete this trade.
Yeah.
And you have to do that because you cannot combine anybody with Danny Green until the 8th of December. It's just a trade rule. It's just like a silly trade rule that exists. So you can't like acquire a guy, package him with other players, and then trade him immediately. You have to wait. And so they're going to wait, and that allows them to keep their $27 million trade exception. We know for sure they're not going to use that on Batum because Batum was bought out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having that team, that roster with Charlotte, where you're paying almost $40 million for Gordon Hayward?
I really don't understand.
It's unbelievable. And you're doing it because you think that it makes you good.
It's unbelievable. I really don't understand. Like, if this is your plan, I don't remember who said that. Probably it's one of The Athletic. Probably the one with David Aldridge. And they were saying, well, if you want to spend $30 million, just spend them on Westbrook. Like, he will get fans in the arena. This is what if you really want to spend that money.
And you can make the playoffs with Russ. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Gordon Hayward's a nice additional piece. Russ still may have a year left in him where he could drag your team to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that's certainly possible.
Yeah, you can do that. And you can even probably keep Batum because it's a trade. And so you're not forced to do something like that.
Right. Yeah. Or Batum goes back to Houston in the trade.
Yeah, then you might. Yeah, you might have to add an extra asset for that, but
yeah, certainly possible. But that's the holdup. That's why it hasn't happened yet. They could do separate transactions where they trade Horford into the $27 million trade exception. They do a separate deal that includes Danny Green and then another trade. That's right. So and then they do separate transactions, but they're not going to. They're going to wait and do it all in one.
Yeah, it's basically you have to do first Ferguson and for Horford. I think that Philly can take him. Then you generate basically a trade exception by doing that in Philly's favor. And then you use that trade exception to
bring in Danny Green.
And you probably have to touch there with an asset of some sort.
And they're just gonna wait, and that means that the ramifications for the Thunder is that we won't get to talk to Al Horford or Tao Maledon this week.
Yeah,
and they won't be in camp. They won't be a part of these four people groups practicing. I don't know if they're here. They can like technically be here and just hang out.
Yeah, they probably can do workout on their own. The team.
Yeah, they're probably in Oklahoma City working out, and then we'll join the team next week.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait.
Yeah, and it's not the end. Like, it's 2 days from the real beginning of training camp. I mean, if it's, like, say that instead of the 8th, the date is the 20th, then you say, well, maybe they do it a little bit before, but it's a week from now.
Yeah.
I don't think it's all that relevant. It's not that Maledon will be bad because he missed the first 3 days of like.
And if he is, the Thunder are okay with that.
Yeah. I mean,
they lose games as a result. Oh, man.
Yeah.
No,
but you want him to be on the right track immediately. You don't want to waste time. But like, what he's going to do is. He's probably watching films already because you can do that. Your trainer can say, well, you should really focus on these two things and watch these kind of this video because it will help. And it's basically something that comes from the Thunder directly. I think there are very easy way to get him up to speed, even if he cannot participate into Thunder activities.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, next question, Michele. Question number three for the Thunder, heading into this 2020-2021 season, which is just me saying the word 20 so many times. What are your thoughts on who leads this team? I mean, this last year we had lots of guys leading the team. You had a veteran coach in Billy Donovan leading the team. You had Chris Paul leading the team. You had Steven Adams, who's like the veteran Thunder guy, showing everybody the Thunder way. What's, you know, who leads this team?
Well, as White Black in the comments is saying, Shea has to take some sort of leadership on the team. And not just in terms of like scoring and or having the ball in his hands, because this will probably happen by default. Like, he will be the guy that OKC will try to feature in some way. But I think that it's a good opportunity for him to take that role, to be the role, the leader of the team, and to be the voice of the team, like the guy who speaks after games, after brutal losses, after a good win against good teams. Like, he has to learn how to do that, and I think it's a good opportunity. And I think that guys like Al Horford will be very helpful to him. And I think that Al should be, and I hope he will be, a vocal leader in this team, especially from the defensive point of view, because Dort is a great defender, but like being vocal on defense, it's hard. And I think that this team needs a vocal leader. And then I think that, and I hope that Mark Daigneault will be a huge part of this as well, because, I mean, he needs... I'm really interested to see the coaching style in terms of the communication with the media. Like, Billy, in 5 years, 4 years, he was always very, very protective of his players. And this was something that I think everyone inside the locker room really appreciated. And I wonder how Daigneault will handle things. Will he hold like guys accountable? How will he speak about Shea? About Shea playing? About the rookies? Will be able to gel veterans and rookies and like player in the rookie contract? I don't know. Like, this is very important. I know that this is a blah blah answer, and I'm saying like just three names, and but they really should do that. Like, you really need to have a coach that is also a leader, especially with a team that is bound to be a young team, a very young team, with basically like just a few veterans, because you need to have them. Like, next year, Horford can be gone and you have Mike Muscala as your only veteran. And so the coach will be extremely important. Right. Like, Shea will be a veteran. Diallo is a veteran in this team. Like, it's the longest tenure Thunder player. Like, these are important things for a coach to manage. But I really want to see how him and Al Horford handle this, because, I mean, they will be important.
Yeah, I think they'll look for Shea for sure. I think Baisley might be an underrated guy, because I do believe he's pretty vocal. I don't know if I see like team leader from either one of those guys, though, just to be honest. I mean, I think the hope is that it's Daigneault for the most part this year, like leading the squad, and obviously like whatever Al Horford wants to do, you know, have at it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's, I don't know. I'm very interested. Like, I'm asking the question. I don't really have a good answer for it, because I haven't really seen what this looks like. perhaps Shea does step up. I think that would be that's the ideal situation, right?
Is
that
Shea
steps up.
And also for the future, because if your rookie comes in like a good rookie, like Cade or Suggs or whoever, Jalen Green, we'll talk a lot about those guys in the future. And you have like a veteran there, like in Shea, that is not much older than them, but you know that you have an example to follow. You have someone to follow. It's not just you. It's also someone else. And I do think that in this sense, I see Shea having that role. And I really hope that he enjoys that, that he is the leader of the team. And maybe a better player will come through the draft next year. Maybe one already came this year. Who knows?
Right.
I mean, yeah. This is why you draft Poku. You don't draft Poku to be a starter in the NBA. You take a swing. If you want a starter, you draft Isaiah Stewart. That is what you do, because he will probably be a starter in this league. Sadiq.
Maybe.
Yeah, most likely. I'm not as down. Stewart. I do think that you can really use, like, say that he is Harrell with a little bit less offense and way better defense. I think that guy plays.
Yeah, Harrell can jump though.
No, he doesn't.
I don't know.
I'm positive. Stewart would be, maybe I'll be wrong, and in 2 years you can make fun of me. But if I have to bet today, I do see a guy that doesn't really fail in the league because of the.
Yeah, I don't think he fails. I don't think he fails either. I think he might be like your third guy though.
Maybe even because
he's not 7 feet. Because he's not 7 feet.
Your third center, your third big man, or your third.
Third big. Like first big off the bench.
Yeah, well, Harrell is the third big off the bench.
Sure.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, almost a starter.
Hey, we didn't mention Frank Jackson.
Oh, yeah, he's there to stay.
Assessment of the roster.
They signed him.
Yeah, Frank Jackson's. Yeah. What do you think of Frank Jackson, by the way?
I think that the reports were true. And when Ferguson was there, they decided that Ferguson was a little bit higher in their boards. I do think that if Ferg is gone, they would draft Frank Jackson in that draft, without a doubt. The reports were probably correct. And, well, I cannot say that I saw like a lot of games because I didn't. But it's at least interesting that they like him. They really want to see if what they saw in the draft process is real, and you can get like a ball handler with good athleticism, shooting potential, and maybe it's nothing. I mean, they have too many guards though. I don't know how they will find minutes for everyone, especially if Hill is there.
Yeah.
It's Dijerome, Shea, Jackson, Dort, Maledon. Like, it's five guys that can have the ball in their hands.
It's funny because there's really only, I mean, honestly, like one like real point guard, and that's Maledon. Yeah. And then like you have like two real primary ball handlers in SGA and Maledon. Because if you're on, and obviously this isn't a good team, and George Hill would probably qualify as a primary ball handler on this team. But if you're a good team, like George Hill's not your primary guy. If you're a good team, a lot of these guys are not your primary guy. So. Frank Jackson's not a primary guy. But yeah, he's just another guy that can theoretically shoot, pass, and dribble. He's got decent size. He's 6 foot three. I don't mind it. I think it's just like another swing. Just like, let's see. Cause he's 22. I guess maybe the Pelicans let him go because they just don't have room on their roster for him, or they don't have the minutes to figure out what he is.
They didn't confirm his rookie option, right?
He's a second round pick, so I don't know.
But he had like a partial guarantee. He had like a partial guarantee, and they basically got him. Yeah.
Oh, he did. That's obviously concerning if you're OKC, because of this team just let him go. But guys can succeed outside of that as well. Next question. In what order will the following players be traded? Because I believe that all these guys will not finish their contracts with the Thunder. George Hill, Al Horford, Trevor Ariza. What's the order of their
Hill, Hill, Ariza, Horford to me. I think that Hill, there's a... I put the over-under on 48 hours. I really thought that it was something there for Hill immediately, but that wasn't the case. I still think there's a good chance that he's gone before the season starts. And Ariza, I don't see that. He could have been part of the like trade that we probably via text or another podcast, we infer that you could package Hill and Ariza for Nick Batum, spare some money or doing stuff like that. But it's not like this hasn't been the case. And so I do think that Ariza will be a trade deadline guy in March. Maybe even through buyout. I'm not even sure that you can trade him because there's no value. And like a team like the Lakers and or the Clippers can use Ariza or the Raptors, the Warriors, but they will not spend $13 million on a guy like that or however he makes. But if the Thunder can spare, say, $3-4 million and let him go, that is enough. I mean,
yeah,
it's not. And I think that could really happen. Maybe not for Hill, but for Ariza. Again, his value is a second rounder at best. So either there is a team that really doesn't like what they have, like say that Harrell like breaks his foot or whatever, or he's really unhappy in LA, and you may trade him for Ariza. You may do a trade like that. But it's, again, I wouldn't bet on something like that happening.
Yeah, you're probably right. George Hill to the Clippers makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could make it work.
Yeah, you can. You can even package them, Hill and Ariza, for Beverly and Williams, and it probably you end up having like a. I don't know if it's a better team. It's just a different team. Yeah. I would do Ariza for Hill for Lou Williams, but. I don't see how Lou Williams comes to OKC. Like, he will be immediately bought out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they wouldn't buy him out. They'd trade him.
Yeah, but I don't see a huge... You need to find a third team if you want to do a trade like that. Again, he can go to Chicago. If Chicago doesn't like Hill and likes... Lou Williams more. I don't see why that could be the case because they already have a player like Lou Williams in Coby White. But maybe. Like,
they've already got your guy Garrett Temple, though.
Yeah. But he's a totally different player.
I know.
Just went to mess with...
Just trying to mention Garrett Temple on a podcast with you. That's all.
I don't know. As a buyout candidate, like Ariza can make sense for Milwaukee or teams like that. Hill,
yeah,
maybe even in Houston. Like, you can send Hill to Houston. It's hard to make money with the money work, but.
Yeah, I mean, if you call the Bulls and say, "Hey, give us Felicio," and. I don't know. Like, what's an acceptable asset back for
George Hill?
For George Hill. I mean, you asked for a first fake rounder. First. Like, give us not a fake first. Give us a lottery protected 2024.
What? No.
First round pick.
No. No.
George Hill's good.
Yeah. Not 2024 good. Not lottery protected 2024 good.
You don't trust Sam. That's what you just said. You just said, I didn't hear the words you said. All I heard was, I don't trust Sam. That's what I heard you say.
It's the price that you're setting is high. I mean, it's
between
Oubre and Rubio and Hill. Who's the best player?
Who would I rather have?
Who's the best player, I ask, not who you rather have.
I think George Hill's really? Better. I think George Hill had a better year than Kelly Oubre. Yes.
But this is not the perception in the league. And so
How do you know that? Kelly Oubre is a known loser. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but he's young. And he might not have another year like the one that he just had. And surely he will be limited in OKC, because if you play him a lot, then it means you're winning. And so if you're, well, winning a little bit more than what you should. And so you cannot feature him. And like, you cannot do what you did with Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder. And so you will probably play him like 15, 18, 20, just not to have him miserable. And I think that the top 20 first round pick, top 20 protected, that immediately becomes two second rounders, it's a good value for Josh Hill. Like a very good value. I would be surprised if that is the value. Yeah.
Very?
Very good value. Oh,
I think you're going to be surprised. I think you're going to be surprised.
I like to be surprised. I'm not hating on Sam. I just say that the value that he got in terms of pick for Schroeder, who I think is a way better player, or Chris Paul that had like salary concern, or Kelly Oubre. I mean, you're talking about protected first rounders at best. And I don't really see the demand. They know, like the counterpart will know that this is a trade that OKC really wants to do.
Yeah, I think part of the Schroeder deal was like, how can we find a first rounder in this current draft today?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think they could have potentially gotten more for Schroeder if they held out.
Yeah, but what's the hookup? Like, what's the reason that you have for Oubre? Like, Oubre is really young. He can be a 18-point-per-game.
I don't think they wanted him on the roster. Yeah. I just don't think they wanted him on the team.
I know. But Hill, but I mean, the last example that we have with George Hill in a bad team was in Sacramento, and by half, like, and he had like a huge contract, like 20 millions is like, you have 20 good 20 millions of good reasons to stay where you are. And he wanted out. And so I do think that Sam knows about this. Sam knows that with Hill, he probably has the clock ticking already. That's why I think he would rather move him right now. Like, you can say that lottery protected pick for with Chicago that is top 20 protected the year after and becomes 2 seconds afterwards. Like, it rolls just two years and protects Chicago for this year. The next year draft, then maybe they will say yes. But I mean, maybe it's lottery protected and immediately 2 seconds, something like that, where basically if you are a low-end playoff team, the pick conveys. And this is something already extremely good for George Hill, because if you get pick number 18 or even 16 in 2021 draft, you're getting a great asset. Or you can give Hill and Ariza for Otto Porter, who is a project that probably doesn't play a single minute. And Chicago may use Ariza and Hill better than Otto Porter.
Does Otto Porter want to play basketball?
If he doesn't, it's awesome. You're just there. I mean, yeah. I mean, the math is basically the same. Like,
Porter is kind of interesting.
If he wants to play, awesome.
If you're a good team, yeah, he was good for the Wizards. I mean, things have obviously not worked out for him in Chicago, but I know he's had injury problems.
If he doesn't want to play, I mean, just stick around or don't. We're just going to LA. We'll pay your salary anyway. And if you want to come back, awesome. Like, that trade that I just... like it's not reported or anything, makes Chicago clearly better.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they would like to be good.
So if you have to spend a lottery protected first to get both Ariza and Hill and just give away 26 million that you don't want and then expire next year. Yeah. But again, it's a one shot first, not way more than that.
Mm-hmm. I guess somebody's checking in from South Korea. That's cool. Thanks.
I have no idea what's the time there.
Let's see.
Like late night?
I don't know. What's the time? Let us know what the time is. I don't know. Question number five I have. Shea leads this team in scoring. I think that's just a foregone conclusion. Who else scores
for this team?
Average.
Oh, I don't like average. Can we do totals? Okay.
Oh, yeah, we can. Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. Because, we can do totals. We can do totals. Are you talking about like guys that could be traded?
Yeah.
Like George Hill, if he plays like five games and averages 17 points or whatever. Yeah.
Ew, so it's 8 hours ahead. Great. In South Korea. From my place. It's 15 ahead of you.
Okay.
I hope I did the math correctly.
It's in the future. What's the future like?
I do think that SGA, Horford, and Baze.
From Ethiopia. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I just had to. That just blew my mind. We have somebody from Ethiopia in our YouTube chat.
The NBA is really global.
It is. Okay. So Shea, Horford, Baze.
Yeah. I am quite sure about these three. Because I do see all of them averaging more than double figure. Then,
then who? I think give me two more. Give me two more names. Because this is where it gets kind of muddy. Like, does Justin Jackson have a year where he shoots?
No.
Do they play Ty Jerome enough for him to become a scoring guy?
No.
Lu Dort, does Lu Dort put up 12 points a game just because there's shots to be had?
I think that Lu will take shots. Case.
Oh, he'll take shots. Yeah. We know that. He took shots. I mean, game seven. He didn't
have to.
He
will play and he will take shots.
He did. He made them.
Now, 10 shots, 9 points. It's also something that could happen.
Certainly.
Dort. And the last.
God, I didn't know you're such a Dort hater. I didn't know.
I just believe more in Bazley. What's the problem with you today? Like, wow. But I love Baze.
There's so much.
I think that Baze could average 14.
What? Yeah.
Baze
has got to finish at the rim. He's got to be able to finish around the basket. I hope he does. Because that's one of the things that's keeping Baze from being like a really, really nice player. Because I believe in his shooting. I mean, to me, I've seen enough to where I'm like, okay, like he's going to at least be a decent shooter. I think he'll be a decent shooter. But if he can finish around the rim, because he's 39% field goal percentage last season.
I know. I went back and watched a lot of Baze at the rim. There are a lot of like weird misses. And a lot of weird attempts as well. And I do think that he is, like, if you look at the bubble, he took 9 shots at the rim. Like 9.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, it wasn't very many, which is also a concern.
But I think that is by design. I mean, if you have Dort and you have a Steven and you have, or Nerlens, you need to him, you have to have him like outside, just spacing the floor.
Yeah, he's
and he did
space.
It particularly well. Yeah. So I do think that he could take like 5 twos a game. I'm really all in on Baze taking 5 twos a game. I want him taking.
Yeah. So around the rim last season he was 60%.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Yeah. Like that's got to be better for a guy his size. And then from 3 to 10 feet
Who
he
cares?
Was 22%.
He will. Now he has to clean that up. You know, like erasing those.
He's got to clean that up. No, it's not many shots, though. I mean, he didn't take many shots from this range. And then 25% from 10 to 16 feet. I mean, he just missed his twos. Like, he just missed almost all of
his
twos.
He doesn't have to take them. The fifth one, I'm torn, because if Ariza and Hill are in OKC by March, then...
Let's just say that they're gone. Because I don't
think... Let's get weird and say that Pokuševski is say the fifth
it!
Scorer.
Say it!
It's probably stupid, and it will probably be something like disturbing, like Diallo.
I don't think it's stupid. I don't think it's stupid. Oh,
that is gross.
Oh,
no, but like I don't see Maledon averaging more than six, seven points because even if he plays like 18 minutes, I do think that he will have less scoring attempts than Pokuševski. I see Poku as a gunner. Like I watched a bit of his U18 games in 2019.
Yeah,
he was just out there chucking shots, demanding play like his teammates to just give him the ball, and he was just
he played super hard in those U18 games.
Yeah,
he was really fun to watch in those games.
So, like, if you give him 10 shots, then he's probably going to have more points than Hamidou Diallo. That I realize he had 6 point whatever one Tommaso Ferro. Told us in the chat that he was averaging 6.9 in 19 minutes. Well, one, I hope that he plays less than 19 minutes, and B, I don't see that average going higher than that. And someone said that Ami Zagard, technically, I see him as a 4/5 on offense.
Yeah, I think it's 4. I think if Hami is successful in the NBA, I think it's because he has figured out how to be a four. Yeah. That he can hit a corner three and that he can fly around like crazy on defense and be a, he's a four. I just don't, he doesn't have the perimeter skills to be a wing or a guard. He just doesn't. He's a four. He's really just kind of just this raw athlete, but I think they're going to give him a chance. And he could be end up being the guy. I hope it's Poku. I tend to believe that the Thunder understand where they're at. They understand where they're at with regards to Poku and Hami. And I think that they will just lean Poku all season. Unless it turns out like, oh my goodness, he can't play in the NBA. He's too thin. He doesn't have the strength to guard anybody. Like who does... I mean, maybe he's a four on offense, cool. But then, like, what position is he on defense? Where do we put him? Where do we slot him in? He's getting roasted all the time. He's not learning. This is killing his confidence. Yeah. What do we do? You know, it's not out of the question. But we have a question. Is Hami tall enough to play the four? I think it's really just strength-based. Like, is he strong enough?
Yeah, he's 6'5", isn't he?
PJ Tucker played center. Yeah, PJ Tucker played center last year, and PJ Tucker's like 6'4".
He's so bigger. He's way bigger, but Hami can be bigger than what he is right now.
Hami's big. Hami's jacked. He's big time. Okay. Last question. This is crazy. The Thunder have 30 tradable picks between now and 2027. How many will they end up with before the draft? The 2021 draft.
30.
So this includes second.
Yeah, I think that they snag at least two other second rounders and maybe a first.
Yeah.
And this only because I like prime numbers. And I don't know why, because 33 is not a prime number. So what am I saying? It's 37, the next one.
I was going to say.
So one pick.
37.
What am I saying? Like, I'm a mathematician. Like, this is horrible podcasting. It's like, so seven. It has to be either one or seven. No, 33 is a good number. I think that one first and two seconds is likely.
Yeah. So they have 18 potential first-round picks. I say potential because you have like the Golden State pick in there where you need Golden State to be very good in order for that to convey. But 18 first-round picks, which is wild. And then you have the 12 second-round picks. So I can go through them real quick. So in 21, they have three first-round picks. They have the pick swap with Houston. as well. And then two second round picks, Oklahoma City's own second round pick, which I think that's something that we don't think about often, is that these second round picks for the Thunder will also be pretty valuable going into all these drafts. Their own picks will. Now they've got some, they have some second rounders that could show tremendous value eventually, but like then they have Denver's, which will be a late second round pick. In 2022, they have three first round picks. They have Oklahoma City's, they have the Clippers, and they have Phoenix's pick, which is top 12 protected. And then they have their own second round pick. 23, they have their own pick, Miami and Denver's pick. And then they have three second round picks in 23. 24, they have three first round picks, including Houston's and the Clippers pick, then plus Minnesota and Charlotte's second round picks, which could prove to be valuable because those are just perpetually crappy franchises. 25, they have Oklahoma City's and Philadelphia's pick with Atlanta's second round pick in 25. 26, they have Thunder, Clippers, Houston, and then they have OKC and Dallas in the second round. And then 27 is when we'll be so old then.
I will be 40.
They have OKC's pick. Yeah, I know. I don't want to talk about that.
Me neither.
I don't want to talk about being 40 today, but that's the Thunder rebuild. And I mean, hopefully we're in the championship parade on the down to dunk float in 2027 by that time. But all right, that's my six questions. Thunder training camp starts tomorrow. They're going to do so. The way they're going to do media days, they're going to have players staggered throughout the week. So you're going to, instead of it being all in one day, you're going to have the Thunder give a couple players a day until they're done with player interviews. Now, it'll be very interesting to see who is actually interviewed and who's a part of this and who's not. I think it'll show the Thunder's hand a little bit, like they're going to have to show their hand a little bit here. With just the interviews. So look out for that. We'll be providing content for all of that. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Andrew K. Schlecht and follow Michele on Twitter at Mikey Berra. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It's a huge help to us. My boss sees that and knows that knows where our numbers are. And the higher those numbers go, the more good things happen for us. So if you guys would just take the time to do that today, that would be super helpful. Hope you guys have a great Monday, and we will talk to you guys again on Wednesday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.